This is The Efficiency Point, a podcast from Modern Pumping Today magazine. I'm MPT editor Jay Campbell, along with our producer Seth Saunders. You can find us online at mptmag.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on any of your favorite podcast apps. On today's episode, we speak with Mark Anderson of Kamau Robotics on the increasing role of wearable robotics and exoskeletons in the workforce. We also take a look inside the April issue of MPT and update the impact coronavirus is having around the pump industry. So let's get right into some headlines. With shelter-in-place orders enacted throughout much of the industrialized world, demand for oil has plummeted, leading oil prices to fall below zero for the first time in history. The West Texas Intermediate price per barrel collapsed Monday to negative $37, meaning oil producers were paying traders to take the oil off their hands. As of this recording, oil has recovered back into positive territory at just over $20 a barrel, which is still a traditional low. Domestically, some states are expected to lift at least some shelter-in-place restrictions on May 1st, but it's unclear if demand will fall supply, or if it does, if it will be enough to overcome the glut of supply currently on the market. Globally, countries heavily reliant on oil trading are expected to face a financial crunch, placing further stress on their ability to address the current pandemic. In an interview with the Washington Post, Director for the Centers of Disease Control Robert Redfield said that a second wave of COVID-19 infections would prove far deadlier than the current pandemic due to its coinciding with the height of flu season. Quote, "There's a possibility that the assault of the virus on our nation next winter will actually be even more difficult than the one we just went through. We're going to have the flu epidemic and the coronavirus epidemic at the same time." As health providers work toward a plateau in the current infection rates and prepare for the months ahead, Redfield called on officials to reinforce the vital need for social distancing and for an exponential increase in the testing to identify the infected and engage in contact tracing measures. The Hydraulic Institute announces that its Energy Rating Program database of has rated pumps has grown to include more than 9,400 products. Based on the U.S. Department of Energy's Motor Market Assessment, pumps can account for 40% of energy usage in industrial fluid systems. The HI Energy Rating metric represents the greatest potential savings for these and other systems through the implementation of more energy-efficient solutions. Michael Machode, HI's executive director, said in a statement, "With the new U.S. energy conservation standard for certain clean water pumps in effect, companies and utilities should be planning for a future that is both more energy and cost efficient. Targeting pumps as part of the energy efficient program creates value for all stakeholders, manufacturers, commercial builders, and municipalities through the potentially significant cost savings and improved sustainability of the pump applications." Launched in 2018, HI's energy rating program makes it easy for manufacturers and distributors to communicate energy efficiency and help end users identify pumps that offer energy and cost-saving benefits. For more information on these programs, visit pumps.org/energy efficiency, all one word, and we'll provide a link to that in the show notes for this episode. Construction has begun on Texas A&M's new TurboLab Symposium office. After months of designing and bidding, construction has officially begun on the new Turbo Machinery Laboratory Symposium office. That's a mouthful. The new office is adjacent to the current Turbo Lab and will be a one-story facility of 6,050 square feet. The office will contain 13 new faculty and staff offices, 6 research associate workstations, and 50-person conference and meeting rooms. Dr. Eric Peterson, director of the Turbo Lab, said, "We are thrilled to have the opportunity to consolidate the Turbo Lab staff, faculty, and students under a single location, and that combining all 3 aspects of the center's daily activities within one permanent centralized space will allow the Turbo Lab to better support its important mission. The new Turbo Lab Symposium office will take approximately 12 months to complete, with a tentative move-in date of February of next year." Seth, you haven't come with us to the Texas A&M Pump and Turbo Symposium before, have you?
I have not.
It's a lot of fun. They, it's both a industry and an academic affair. You get to see a lot of people from around the manufacturing side and also the service side. That what we were talking about earlier about oil prices dropping low, that'll certainly be a big topic of conversation among that crowd, because Houston is a big oil town and there'll be a lot of oil people in that facility. But, you know, mostly we just go around and we, you know, kind of poke fun at them for Texas A&M football. This episode of The Efficiency Point is brought to you by JWC Environmental, a Sulzer company. JWC Environmental is a global leader in solids reduction, separation, and removal systems for customers in a broad range of municipal and industrial applications. Register today for their free webinar on April 30th, No TP, Now What, at modernpumpingtoday.com/webinar/JWC. Kamau is a leading global company in industrial automation. With over four decades of field-tested experience, Kamau develops a wide assortment of innovative Industry 4.0-enabled systems, products, and services. We're pleased to have Mark Anderson, Kamau's Head of Robotics and Automation Products for North America, join us today to discuss the increasing role of wearable robotics and exoskeletons in the workforce. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Thanks for having me, and I appreciate the intro.
Well, I was wondering, since a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with where exoskeletons fit into the industrial world today, outside of maybe science fiction, what's a brief history of exoskeletons in the workforce?
Well, that's a great question. Exoskeletons in the workforce, I think, are fairly new. We're unique in our venture in exoskeletons, where we have one particular product that can be used over a wide range of body types with various settings for load and assistance. Our product has been used in many different applications over our brief history, anywhere from automotive applications where users would be working in an overhead situation. So if you imagine a vehicle coming down a production line with workers underneath the vehicle hanging exhaust components or running wiring harnesses, the exoskeleton will be used to relieve fatigue in the wearer or user's shoulder chain. So in general industry, we've seen demand in everywhere from industrial baking, where wearers would be pulling bread or pies out of an oven and then putting oven racks onto shelves or different carts. Makeup manufacturers, anywhere from textile manufacturers, purse manufacturers. So it's been a pretty wide range of demand in the market.
So do you see any areas in the industry that are moving more towards exoskeletons than others? Is there a growth market you're looking at?
Well, that's a growth market we're looking at. So we're fully owned by FCA. So naturally, and we're in the automotive industry pretty heavily. So for us, there's a natural lean towards automotive just in our DNA. However, we've introduced the exoskeleton in recent trade shows such as Automate, and there's been a very big demand in general industry. And I think that most companies are dealing with the same type of issue the automotive industry is seeing, in which we have an aging society. I mean, everybody every day is getting older. And the use of an exoskeleton in the workforce reduces the fatigue somebody would see in their shoulder, which would allow them to do the same type of repetitive work over and over again for a longer period of time with less discomfort. So, you know, anywhere where somebody would be placing their arms straight out or overhead, the exoskeleton would be something that should be considered to relieve fatigue in the shoulder.
You know, we often think of automation as replacing some of that, institutional knowledge that, you know, when the older generation retires and the younger generation comes in. But I guess automation can also supplant and boost up some of the physical as well, can't it?
Well, that's a great lead into something that we call Hue manufacturing. And Hue manufacturing is a term that Kamau uses to really stress the importance of the human in the workplace. You know, years ago, when you heard the word automation, you would automatically think robots. Actually, not even years ago, it could have been last week. Automation doesn't necessarily equal robots or machines. Automation could be as simple as giving a user a better tool to do a job. And that's where the Mate and another product we have called Virgil, which is a virtual guidance interactive learning system. Those two products really show they're human-centric products, human-centric processes, where you can automate an application or a process without using a robot or a big industrial machine.
So what are some ways that people are making use of the Mate exoskeleton in the field today?
The Mate exoskeleton has been used outside of automotive for painting applications, ceiling tile installation, maintenance of machines. You know, if you can imagine somebody installing light fixtures overhead or replacing light bulbs overhead all day, every day, the exoskeleton would be extremely useful in those sorts of applications.
And so could the exoskeleton also work in conjunction with other robotic systems? I know Kamau makes more than just exoskeletons. You also make kind of task-specific and task-flexible robotic systems, correct?
Yes, of course. In the exoskeleton, if you were to look at Kamau.com on our website, we do have a few applications that are shown there. As a matter of fact, I think you'll find us manufacturing some of our robots while we're wearing our Mate exoskeleton. The exoskeleton can also be used for loading or unloading robotic processes or applications. So if you could imagine hanging a part on a hook that a robot will later then pull off a hook and introduce that part into an assembly line or a welding process, or removing a part from a hook or a nest where somebody would be lifting the part overhead or lifting the part above their waist. The exoskeleton could provide assistance in both of those scenarios.
And you said that the Virgil system, is that more of an augmented reality system?
Well, it's comprised of a few key components. It has a camera system, and it has a light, let's say, some type of a guidance system that could be a laser or a pointer. And what would happen is the system would suggest to the operator to pick up a part or tighten a bolt, and it would use a camera system in conjunction with that to verify that that operation was performed as the machine suggested.
Well, that's fascinating. You know, I'm in a lot of the industries that we cover down on the actual floor where you see the industrial motors or the large pumps going work, we're seeing a bigger trend toward augmented reality, because getting a person to get in there and explore the works can sometimes be safety prohibitive or cost prohibitive. It might be in a remote location. But if you can get a robot there or a camera there and access it with software on the back end, it's a lot safer, quicker, and you can share it with more people. Is that kind of the thinking behind using one of these aided systems?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, you know, the drivers behind our new technologies are to really stress the importance of the human in the manufacturing process. And we are continually trying to create machines, robots, and solutions that address the aging society, address sustainability, also reduce the complexity in a lot of our machines. So trying to make interfaces that are more intuitive, that require less training and support, to also ease introduction of automation in areas of business that generally don't use automation. So it sometimes can be complicated installing a robot system in a business that have never seen robots before. So we're trying to make the introduction of automation easier, simpler, and more cost effective by allowing people to purchase, again, maybe the mate if they wanted to give the user a tool to do a job better for longer, or we can introduce robotics with new interfaces that are easier to use, which may help the adaption of the robot into that factory, which would require less training for the maintenance teams and such.
Now, speaking of training, what would you say the average learning curve on the mate exoskeleton would be? I mean, at the end of Aliens, Ripley just jumps into that exoskeleton. She's off to the races.
It's pretty straightforward. We have a small manual that that can be referenced, and I think the operator could probably thumb through that pretty quickly and understand how it's to be used. Generally speaking, we like to do a remote training session. So if somebody were to purchase one or rent one, we would call a Google Hangout meeting and have a camera and guide them through putting it on, taking it off, adjusting it correctly. That way they're happy with it. You want to make sure that it's comfortable, that they're wearing it right and adjusted properly for their body type and the application.
And, you said at the beginning of this that the use of exoskeletons is still kind of in its adolescence. Where do you see this going in the future?
Boy, again, if we talk about the aging society and the demand to have people continue to work in the workplace for a longer period of time, I think we're going to see more and more of these exoskeletons being used for all sorts of applications. So I think the growth is going to be pretty aggressive over the next 5 or even 10 years.
Well, Mark, we certainly look forward to what the future holds, and thank you again for taking time to join us today. If listeners are interested in learning more about Kamau's exoskeletons or any of their other products, where can they find you online?
The best place to look would be kamau.com.
All right. Well, thanks again, Mark, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
The April edition of MPT is in subscribers' hands. In it, we present an article on Wilden donating an FDA-grade Sanaflow AODD pump to the Food Processing Laboratory at California's Fresno State University. The donation will allow students enrolled in Fresno State's Department of Food Science and Nutrition to complete hands-on training in food safety and good manufacturing practices. In our maintenance and reliability section, Heinz Wolderling of LEWA shares how his company has extended the application of augmented reality to service and maintenance. LEWA launched augmented reality tools that can be viewed through mobile devices or 360-degree smart glasses, allowing for interactive, real-time remote inspection and service. Seth, at a trade show once, I was able to go on a demo of one of those augmented reality inspection platforms.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they gave you little goggles and next thing you know, the lights flicker in the goggles and you're in a factory plant somewhere, halfway around the world.
Hmm.
It made me wonder, what happened to Google Glasses? Remember Google Glasses?
Yes, I do. And everybody was excited for them, but it turns out the project was a failure of sorts. I think they got them to work, but it wasn't as cool. They weren't as sleek and as neat as people were wanting. So,
yeah. That's the problem. I think you're exactly right. I think the technology was perfect. It's just that you look like a big dork wearing them.
Exactly. Pretty much like you do wearing all VR glasses right now. So
that's why it's great when these things find industrial uses, because nobody cares if you look like a dork while you're at work.
Right.
And in fact, more the better, I say. That's been my career advice. The April issue also contains MPT's annual products and services guide, so you want to keep that issue around for reference throughout the rest of 2020. If you're not a current subscriber, just go to mptmag.com, click the subscribe tab, and you'll be able to sign up for a free 12-month subscription. This has been The Efficiency Point, a podcast from MPT Magazine. Follow us on Twitter at ModPumpMag for updates on our next episode. Today's episode was produced by Seth Saunders. I'm your host, Jay Campbell. Stay safe out there, and thank you for listening.